Anyway, it's 5 o'clock, so I should get going. Friendly reminder that fundraiser continues on for the rest of the week and the rest of today. So don't forget to donate. Give us a call at 734. I don't have the number up. 763-3500. Anyway, Living Writers is up next with tea. So don't go anywhere. Have a good one, y'all. Stay warm.
Good afternoon. You've got Living Writers on WCBN FM Ann Arbor. I'm T. Hetzel, and I am pleased as punch today. It's fundraiser, number one, fundraiser 2019, and you can't have a fundraiser without fun. And I'm so lucky to have here in the studio with me folks that probably won't be going as cheesy as that start was, but don't we all love Eye of the Tiger?
Who doesn't,
and I'm right?
Pleased as punch.
Thank you, George. We've got George Cooper on the mic, Brent Bryan from Big Love Recording Collective. We've also got Angie Berkeley here and Gina Brandolino to talk about their new podcast with the English Department Writing Program, Behind the Scaffolding. And you also may recall George Cooper joining us last fundraiser, and also because his song From Home George, his band Home George, is the Living Writers theme song, which we will hear as we go out on the program today, because we started with Eye of the Tiger, obviously. Just a quick word. Feel free to call us at any point. This is fundraiser. We'd love to hear from you. 734-763-3500. We've got lovely phone bank folks just behind the glass on the other side waiting to hear your voices. And behind glass on the other side, the engineer for Living Writers, Stephanie Carpenter, is here. Stephanie Douglas Carpenter is in the house. Everybody, thanks so much for being here today. I feel like I should give Gina a chance on the mic.
Hi.
Gina, it's not been so long since you were here, like just a month ago or
no,
so.
No, it seems just like yesterday, actually. I'm glad to be back. I feel like something was lacking. And now I'm here with all my friends, so this is great.
It's going to be a good time.
It's Eye of the Tiger time.
It's Eye of the Tiger, exactly. Well, let's start with talking about Big Love Recording Collective. Brent, do you want to, and George, you want to tell the story about how you two met, and then maybe Brent, you can tell us a little bit about the mission and vision.
Don't look at this. I wonder if Brent and I remember it similarly. I think it was at my house. And I have an old cigar box ukulele that doesn't hold a tune very well. And Brent could play the heck out of it. And I was amazed. I thought, this is astounding. Now, it wasn't perhaps ready for Carnegie Hall, but it was Brent playing this hard-to-tune cigar box ukulele.
I remember you being surprised. I remember you looking at me and being like, what the heck?
So he said, well,
you actually played something. That's weird.
I have a question. How did Brent get into your house that day?
We're neighbors.
Oh.
And just turned up in the living room.
That was what my surprise was about. It was 3 in the morning and I had been asleep. He was playing the heck out of a cigar box ukulele.
Actually, we are neighbors, and the whole block gets along really well, and we often go to each other's houses a lot, like what I would think most good neighborhoods should do.
So Maplewood Avenue is almost like a collective in itself, and yeah. it actually houses Big Love.
Yeah, two of the artists on our label are literally live on the block. Well, I guess three if you include myself. So
how did you start the collective, Brent? What was how'd you get it rolling? You've got a great website too. And is that a Yeti or Bigfoot as your logo?
It is supposed to be an abominable snowman. I'm from Minneapolis, so I'm also kind of a fat dude. And
don't be silly.
No, I like that. Like I
husky.
Like husky. I don't know why that's a weird thing. Anyways, I like that it's this husky, abominable snowman. It's supposed to be me, kind of, I think. Like, I come from Minnesota, and it's cold there. Much colder than here.
So I have a bunch of songs that I've been writing for 40 years. And Brent said, well, bring them over and let's record one. So I did, and to my surprise, he liked the first thing I played from the very beginning, saying, well, it's kind of rough, but I like that kind of thing. And
was that Valentine's Day, George?
I don't know what the first song was.
Pogie.
It probably was Pogie.
Yeah.
The song about your dog.
Song
George.
About Pogie the dog.
Which I like songs about dogs. Paul McCartney has Martha, My Dear, which is about his dog. I just kind of like songs about dogs.
So I sold it to him that way. Like, he was easy.
And George, you said you had, like, these songs that you'd been working on for 40 years? Like,
I'd say 40 years. Yeah, or more, actually. You know,
it
in the basement.
Fresh to me.
You know, when I was supposed to be working on a paper for graduate school, I would be making up songs. And I'm surprised I didn't get through graduate school, so there explains it.
But the songs survived, right?
The songs
are now in the world.
Yeah, and they have some characters still. And Brent, being the fine musician he is, has something to add to everyone, often in an arrangement of something a little different from the way I play it, and then other times adding instruments and arrangements that will knock your socks off.
I'd like to interject that. I don't think that I'm a fine player. I think that I'm a mediocre player, but I do think that I'm a fine producer. And I can hear things in music and want them to work a certain way. So
so that's part of how Big Love Recording Collective actually came to be, because you have an ear and you seem, I don't know you very well, Brent, but you seem like a generous soul. And from reading on your website, BigLoveRecordingCollective.com, folks, you can head to that. You can see the about page, see the abominable snowman that we're talking about. And if you click on the about page, you'll see that the sort of a manifesto of sorts, like we believe everyone's voice should be heard. And twice you say to reach out and contact us.
I'm glad that you've felt it that way, because that's how it was directed, was very much like a manifesto, and like a we believe that everybody's voice should be heard, and we continue and want to include everyone that wants to make things. I just want things to be made, and I think that there should be a time and a place always available for that to be made. And it shouldn't come with a price or feeling under the gun. It should just be an open environment for that. And I guess we don't have state-of-the-art stuff, and
You can't record during a thunderstorm.
Can't record during a thunderstorm, but we try to accommodate as best we can to basically give everybody a voice.
I love that. I love that. That's so valuable. That's so worthy.
It's everything I wanted when I was a kid. I don't have, you know, I didn't have then. It's what we can give now.
So one of the songs that you brought today, Brent, is by Levi. Could you set us up, and then we'll just hear a short clip of it.
I would love to. It's from a dear friend, Levi Makula. He is a tremendously talented young man. He's from the band Cryface, and he is doing his solo record now on his own. And this is his. This is the first song we wrote together. It's quite good, I think.
Let's hear some of it.
And as a writer, I'm just trying to be obvious. Maybe it'll move you or just stay in place. Stagnant emotions meet fiery embrace. Having fun, weaving poetry, may you find it beautiful, disarming. Afraid, may you reach out and stroke it with a feather, or strike it so hard with your axe, or blow it so dry with your mouth. Blow it so dry with your mouth. See, it's clean now.
And that was Songwriter. And so that's some, that's pretty beautiful lyrics that we just heard and evocative. What did you think, Angie?
I really loved that, especially the part about, he's talking about creating, right? He's talking about being a writer, and he's talking about, you know, here it is, here's what I've got, I'm putting it out there for you.
Absolutely.
And you're going to take it, and that's really lovely. Yeah, I loved it.
I'm sorry, that was really hard for me. It's really weird hearing it. And the headphones, and it means so much.
Thank you for choosing this song to bring today, Brent.
Yeah.
From Big Love Recording Collective.
I truly love him, too. And our creation, you know, when I heard the name of this series, Living Writers, I really thought about what we were doing. And I feel like he is one, like, that's truly, like, it's going beyond music and about speaking, like, poetry, like, really words that mean things, and putting music to them, and the genuine nature of where that creative process comes from is just so beautiful to me.
Yeah, you can feel the genuineness. You know, and yeah, also, I
feel like such a sap. I'm literally crying.
It's so weird.
It's so strange to me.
This happens on Living Writers. I have to say, there's laughter.
I think it's George.
There's often tears.
I was not intending this
George
at all.
George makes grown people cry all the time.
I'm telling my daughter, I'm so nervous to go on air, and here I am weeping.
Oh, well, I want a shout out to your daughter. Let's do the shout outs.
Please. Ava Eloise, I love you forever.
And Angie.
And I'll do a shout out to my family listening, Scott, Eli, and Josie. Hello. I love you guys.
Beautiful.
George, Gina, shout outs.
Joanne Turner Cooper. Hi.
Oh, also Brian Tucker.
Oh, that's right, Brian.
I love you too, Brian.
Don't work too hard.
I'll say hi to all the family members I know, Joanne and Eli and Josie and Scott. Also, my folks are listening. My mom, Patsy, in Florida. Curse her.
Oh, mom's in Florida listening, yeah. too. Other coast.
And my dad, Sam, and my stepmom, Carol. And my uncle, no, I'm kidding. No, stop that.
I was like, we need to, Steph's going to play us out here for the break.
I'll do my best not to cry again, too. I swear.
Tears are okay.
I know.
Everything's
tough,
good. But I will say the phone number again, because in case you're just tuning in and joining us, I'm so glad you did. You've got Living Writers. It's fundraiser week here at WCBN FM Ann Arbor. And the number to call is 734-763-3500.
Come on, you hacking dudes. Come on. Call this 734-763-3500 right now. Like, give a dollar. Give something.
Any pledge.
That sounded really Canadian. Dollar.
It's
dollar.
True.
Give a
Every
dollar.
Little bit helps.
Right. That would be great. That would be really great. So give us a call, 734-763-3500. Brent picked Bjork for us to hear. Here she is.
Oh, my God. You're doing it.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, so glad you did. You've got Living Writers. Today, it's Fundraiser. Fundraiser 2019.
Fundraiser.
This time we need business.
That's right. We need your cash money. If you don't mind, send it our way. Give us a call.
I told George that we would raise the most money ever.
Let's do it.
I think that we can.
Let's do it.
I'm really urging all of you, anyone that's listening to this, please, like $1, nothing.
Let's get those phones ringing. Please. We'll get the energy going.
734-763-3500. Please, just call. Just give a cent. Give a penny.
Okay, maybe a little more than that, Brent. Okay, what's the number, Angie?
The number is 734-763-3500.
Thanks. And so let's talk a little bit about podcasting now, because Angie Berkeley and Gina Brandolino have in the works a new podcast that they've recently launched, Behind the Scaffolding. Do you mind telling us a little bit about this endeavor? And
sure. Well, Gina and I work together at Sweetland, and we often found ourselves talking about how much we loved podcasts, and that led quickly to, well, we should make a podcast. We should make a podcast about teaching and all the things that we talk about doing in our classrooms all the time, which we're always doing with each other anyway. And and the rest is... it's becoming history. It's not history yet, but it's happening now. Well,
actually, I feel like we had many great ideas for podcasts, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even think we should go into them, because
I don't think you should.
We should keep those
intellectual property.
Right, totally. Right. Yeah. But just know we've got a lot to have you all listen to.
Yeah. We've got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah. But the teaching one is already up and running behind the scaffolding. We have one episode up. Another episode is being engineered right now, I think.
Yes, right now. Yeah. This very day I was working on it.
Yes. I think somebody's still working. You know, back at the office, we have some minions working on that. Right.
Happy not ones. Aware of these minions.
Happy ones, we hope. Yeah. So let's take a quick break in here. This is from the trailer, the teaser for Behind the Scaffolding, a new podcast about teaching writing with Angie Berkeley and Gina Brandolino.
Hi, I'm Gina Brandolino, a lecturer in the Sweetland Center for Writing in the Department of English.
And I'm Angie Berkeley, a lecturer in the English Department Writing Program and at the Sweetland Center for Writing. And this is Behind the Scaffolding, a podcast where we talk to writing teachers about the hows and whys of what they do in their classrooms, coming to you from the University of Michigan. So, Gina, as I was thinking about our podcast and getting very excited about it, I had an experience very much like one of the best experiences that can happen to a teacher. When you're planning your lesson and you're immersed in the world of the lesson or the text, whatever it is you're teaching, and you come across something by accident that is just a perfect little gem in the crown that is your lesson, this happened to me. I was looking through my Facebook feed and I saw on the feed of my friend Melody Pugh, who is my former neighbor and a graduate of the English and Education program here, Melody was soliciting suggestions for poetry about walls for a collection she was thinking of curating. And someone suggested this amazing poem called, wait for it, Scaffolding!
What are the chances?
I know! By Seamus Heaney. So I'm going to read the poem now. Masons, when they start upon a building, are careful.
Okay, so not to cut off Seamus Heaney, the most one of whatever. The most wonderful poets, but
he doesn't have a podcast.
I just, you know, yeah, he's like, had I had a chance. but let's, since you're both here in the studio right now, let's take the opportunity to hear kind of your own thoughts about making this podcast, and because it's a work of, it's like a passion project in a way, because doesn't it take so much more work than you ever envisioned? Angie, do you want to start with this one? And then Gina?
Yes, it takes so much more work than I ever envisioned. I mean, I think our initial vision of it was, all we have to do is sit down and talk and just talk to each other and to, you know, lecturers and teachers that we admire. And it'll just flow, you know, like the breeze, like water. And I mean, and part of that is true, but it takes so much to get it to be the way you want it to be. And I feel like I'm still learning about it. Like, we're still learning how to make it good. But I mean, one of the best things about that, I think, for me as a teacher, is that it's kind of shown me how hard it is to revise and sort of how, you know, I've had problems, I think, that I don't have when I write necessarily, but that I certainly am having when I'm editing our episodes. Right. And it's been humbling and very sort of educational for me. Right?
I love how you can see that you're a natural teacher, and it's such the right fit for you both to be making this podcast about teaching writing, because you have an experience and you automatically reflect it onto teaching and what it must be like for your students and remembering your own process. What's it like for you, Gina?
Well, I first want to say that Angie is doing like literally all the heavy lifting when it comes to the engineering of the episode.
Oh, your turn is coming, Gina.
Yeah, my turn is coming. the way that our workload is divided up right now, Angie's doing that, and I will learn from her. But like I think that the hard parts of sort of putting an episode together, it's Angie that's doing it, and actually my partner. Hi, Ellen. I don't think she's listening, but
oh yes, Ellen called in. Ellen called in, and thank you, Ellen,
yay,
so much.
Ellen, you weren't even supposed to be listening. A plus. Thanks, Ellen.
And thanks to Lewis, too, for calling in.
Oh, Lewis. I can't believe Lewis is listening.
I'm
going to get into a lot of trouble for that later. Anyways, so Angie is doing, I think, a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of putting the episodes together. But a thing that we have talked about is we both listen to a lot of podcasts. We love podcasts. And it just doesn't sound that hard when you listen to a podcast. You're like, well, how hard can this be? Right?
Well, and well, that reminds me of something that George Cooper has said about making music. It's something that's really difficult work, right, but it should sound like it's not.
Effortless.
Is that, to quote George Cooper, who's sitting here right now.
But I think that's the bit, though, is anything that you do well, you actually have to put quite a bit of time into, like you were saying, the editing,
right,
and such. I think it is, you know, it's surprising. It sounds very simple, but it's not that simple.
Yeah.
Or else everyone would do it. And it would sound great all the time.
Right.
It does take quite a bit of effort.
You know, there are two kinds of podcasts, though, and we thought a lot about this going into our podcast. There's the kind of podcast that you sort of, it's just like people talking. It's sort of unedited, sort of constant taping. You know, we'll leave this all in. We won't cut any of it out. And then there's the sort of more highly edited kind of podcast. And that you don't ever expect how much work goes into that highly edited because it sounds so good, right?
Right, right. Well, I mean, and I would say even how much work goes into the ones that sound natural.
Yeah.
And that just sound like ordinary conversation. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, those probably aren't as easy as they sound either.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's not heckin' easy.
Well said,
That's for
sir.
Sure. That's for sure.
So are there, like, any moments so far where you just were like, wow, like they were unexpected or that you've loved? Maybe when you, because your first guest was Trisha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trisha.
Hi, Trisha.
She was a great first guest.
She was a great first guest.
Yes, totally.
And your first episode was called Big First.
Right, right.
I feel like my favorite part of that first episode, and we took the mic away from George, unfortunately, but
he's got it.
There was a part of that episode where we talked about one of George's prompts by sheer accident, right? Like it came up like a miracle.
I don't know. I feel like that one is a prompt. It's like almost a mythic one.
But we were talking about like first day stuff. So it was like sort
of
a
weird.
Could
you describe it though? Like,
we got the guy himself here. So George, you want to take it?
It's a prompt about observation, and I had, in fact, seen a hawk in a tree outside a place that no longer exists. It's near, in between Angel Hall and, I can't remember the
Haven.
Hall's name. And Haven, and then what's the history department in there? The new building, or what's not so new anymore.
There was Mason?
There was a tree there, and there was a hawk in it, I thought, far out. I mean, this is on the college campus. So I proposed to my students. I told them I saw the hawk. I told them where. And then I asked them a rhetorical question. Do you think a hawk resides on campus? And then I gave a few more directions about going onto campus and looking for a hawk. And I asked some more questions, which were misleading. And like to ask if do you think a hawk resides on campus? Just because you saw a hawk is not very good reasoning, but it sounds enticing. So I had them go out and then like however long you wanted to make your walk, you know, look for a hawk and write down what you see on the way there. So then we would come back and talk about how they went about their business. And I would point out how the assignment unintentionally, intentionally deceived them because of the questions I asked that in my first version, I were innocent. I thought, well, good question, ask that. But it really was misleading. And so I tried to use the assignment in a number of ways. One is, how do you read an assignment? And what, you know, how do you look for assumptions? And what assumptions are buried in an assignment that might not be designed to be there? They're just there because the teacher wrote it quickly. And so on and so forth. And it was also about observing things around you, and it never produced great writing. Always disappointed me, but it was also partly so loose, no directions, very free, so it was hard to evaluate as well. But it was a great conversation starter, and people are still talking about it. Unbelievable.
Can I just interject and say that he's a lot more clever than he lets on? Walking hawk. Did any of you guys catch that? I mean, he's actually quite a clever poet, even in speaking.
That's George Cooper, everyone.
Oh, thank you.
And I feel like everyone now has an exercise. They have their own prompt now that you can go
right
and do.
Angie's got.
Right, yeah. And I think that was a great example, what George just shared with us about that prompt. That's what I want the podcast to be. Like, I want the podcast to give other teachers these, not just like, you can go on a website or look online and find assignment prompts and find lesson plans. But what I want the podcast to do is to give the, like, the hows and the whys behind it. Like, what were you thinking of? What did you want your students to get out of it? You know, what does it do? And what were your plans sort of behind it? So that was great. That was a wonderful example.
And some of the spirit of it.
Yeah, too. The spirit of it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's take a short break. Give us a call. I want to thank Nan and Kip Godwin for calling. And thank you for listening, Nan and Kip. It's so good to hear from you. The number to call, everyone, is 734-763-3500. We've got Scott Beal in the house with us, too. So we'll hear from Scott when we come back. And Gina has a quick word.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Lizzie Hutton, who I just got word is listening to us in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Lizzie. Friend of the show, pal of the podcast. Lizzie Hutton. All right. We'll be back to hear from Scott Beal about Skazit. I'm T. Hetzel. We'll be back.
Please don't waste the breath to say what I know you'll say anyway. And no amount of drug use could have me feeling different anyway.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, I'm so happy you did. Today on the program, Gina Brandolino is here, Angie Berkeley, Scott Beal has now joined us. We've got Brent Bryan and George Cooper in the house. We just got a call from the Liz Wasson. This is a shout out to her. Hope that the wisdom teeth removal is, you're on the mend, the Liz, because we miss you and we're going to be hearing your voice in a few minutes. We've got a poem that the Liz has read and we're going to play that. Call 734-763-3500. Let us know you're listening. This only happens once a year. Any pledge, big or small, counts big with us. Scott, thanks for coming over. Just left Sweetland Center for Writing. And
I'm glad to be here. I love the Living Writers show. And I just hear in my head sometimes, you've got Living Writers. And it just makes me delighted. So thanks for inviting me.
Well, thanks for being a guest on the program. Thanks for, and for coming back. So tell us a little bit about a project that, Brent, do you mind telling us before we get to Scott about the song we just heard at the break?
Oh, sure. That was by our sweet friend Daniel Cotter. He is a very young man that, in my mind, is just an insanely good songwriter. Very sweet, very loving, and just, again, does very genuine, loving songs.
What was the name of that one? And can it be found on Big Love Recording Collective.
That is not released.
Oh, it can't. Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, wow. Living Writers scoop.
We gave you the inside scoop before anybody else. That's the only time anyone's ever heard this outside of myself and Daniel.
And so it's Daniel. And what's the name of the song?
Love of My Life.
So this is what happens when you listen to WCBN FM Ann Arbor. You hear...
Actually, I'm not sure that that's the name of the song.
Don't Waste the Breath.
Don't waste the breath. Sorry.
That's Stephanie.
Hello.
I would think that it would be like Love of My Life, but no, it's totally not. It's Don't Waste the Breath, which is a much more clever title.
And so these are the kind of things that happen on your college radio station. Give us a call, 734-763-3500. And thanks for bringing it, Brent. Thanks.
Yeah, for real. You guys are so swell. And this guy seems really interesting, so I'm really curious as to what he's going to say.
Scott Beal is. So Scott, tell us about Skazit.
Skazit. Skazit is a poetry series I've been co-hosting and co-curating with some friends of mine since September 2011. It's the fourth Tuesday of each month at the Sweetwaters Cafe downtown, the one on Washington Street, 7 o'clock. So next week on Tuesday night, Mike Jai, who's a friend of ours and a really great poet and translator and kind of founder of the One Pause Poetry Salon, will be our feature poet. So that'll be really cool. And we have had a number of really great feature poets come through, people who are local or have local ties, and people who are not local who have come from, 4 or 6 hours away driving to read for us. And it's really fun. We have a really good open mic before the feature, and people, like, we have some regulars. We always seem to have a few new faces and a pretty warm, welcoming crowd and a lot of really good readers. So it's a pretty great community reading event that we've been lucky to be able to kind of make happen downtown.
And it's not just luck. It's taking you to keep it going.
I mean, it's interesting how these things happen, because I never set out to do this. I know there are people, very ambitious people, who decide for themselves, I need to start a reading series and this is how I'm going to go about it. This was actually a reading series that I was a fan of already, that some other people had started. Chris Lord and Esther Hurwitz, I think, originally started the series back in 2006 and had a really lively open mic going. And then some other people took it over from them a couple of years later. And then they ran out of time to do it and reached out to a few of us who had featured there, and had read there and come to the open mics. Me and my friend Carrie Warla and my other friend Francine J. Harris all got kind of invited to take over, and we decided to team up as this like triumvirate of people hosting the show, and we rebranded it Skazit, which was Francine's idea. Francine is very into Polish and Russian and these kind of like guttural European languages.
So what does Skazit mean?
It is, as far as I know, not being a Russian speaker myself, it is Russian for to tell. You asked me before the show, too, about the pronunciation of the word, and I have come to understand that it is pronounced Skazit, but I have also been corrected and told that it's pronounced Skazat, and we are very laissez-faire about it.
It was confusing to me.
I actually thought it was like a comic book word. I thought it was like Skazat.
Yeah, I mean, it works. I like the way it appears. We kind of stylized it so that there's always an exclamation point at the end of it when we write it. So it has that kind of splat appearance when you write it. Yeah, which
is
really
great,
like,
for poems, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
it's
absolutely
more unexpected.
Yeah, I think poems need more comic book punches, and yeah, for sure.
And so to tell. Being kind of part of the mission that drives Skazit.
Yeah, absolutely. And people, it's great having, people show up. It's hard to have a reading series sometimes without an open mic if you're not like the Hohenzoll Writers Program or something, But so people come often because they want to share their work as much as they want to hear other work. And it's a really lovely kind of give and take where people come and listen to each other and clap and support each other and high five after the show, and then also get their turn on the microphone. And we have, and get their 3 minutes. We always have to do a spiel at the beginning about like how much time you get. come. I've been to an open mic. I don't know. This is not what you're asking for, but I was once at an open mic where someone read for 20 minutes a story that she was writing about her cats. And which had really detailed descriptions of all of their excretory habits, and then after 20 minutes, she said, "Chapter 2," and then continued reading before finally the hosts came and like escorted her off the stage. And so that is something we work very hard to avoid. You know, we want to hear what people have to say, and we're usually delighted by everything. But you have to set limits to make the, you know, set community standards so everybody gets a chance.
Not going to lie, I'm kind of curious as to what chapter two is going to be.
I got to hear a good 2 or 3 minutes of chapter two before it got cut off, and it was just more of the same.
Still
unfortunately,
more cats.
Yeah. So,
well, there you go.
So this might be a good time to think a little bit about giving us a call, because it is fundraiser. I don't know. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say about, I don't know, either work you love doing and you keep doing it, or campus radio stations?
I could say I like that. I feel like we continue to come back to this element of how much work you actually put in to these things. Even like you, you're the host T that I'm looking at right now. I think a lot of this gets unsaid, the amount of time and effort that gets put into it. The poetry that you took on, the open mic, the podcast that you're doing. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into this that I think is oftentimes overlooked. It's about putting together something quality and making it worthwhile. And that takes a lot of work. And sometimes we need support in that. And I feel like now would be a good time to talk about those. 734-763-3500. I'm not trying to be cheesy about this, but like, support your local things. Support people that are putting together shows for you and putting together music for you and putting together open collective nights for spoken word and just being creative. Please support it, because it's really important that you do so for it to continue.
Thank you, Brent.
Sorry. I didn't mean to get all cheesy about it, but, you know, for real.
No, thank you, for real.
Doing the poetry show, doing Skazit, I totally understand what it's like to do something out of love, right, that you're not getting paid for, right? And you're putting it together on, like, you know, cracker crumbs each week, you know, and all of the behind the scenes work that goes into things like arranging guests, you know, and trying to, you know, trying to get the word out and all the preparation that you have to do to be ready for things that happen, you know, on the night of the show. So, and I do this thing once a month, and you have to do it every week, or get to do it every week. But it is, you know, it's a pleasure and it's a privilege, but it's also a lot of sweat and a lot of labor. And cheers. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, and what makes it worthwhile is having a supportive community that's behind you, right? So, as I say this too, you know, there's a flyer on the table that says "Talk About Fundraiser" that has a very stern looking picture of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's a found object.
Hey, we weren't going to mention her.
She's probably listening now, and we've offended her.
I didn't hear the "don't mention," but I do know that she has just shown up back to work at a time when we all need her to, and like, you know, and I think that is, you know, that's what, you know, that's what the fundraiser is about, asking the people listening to show up when we need them to.
Heck yeah.
RBG.
And T, you've been showing up for work here for 10 years, is it?
Heck yeah.
11 years?
April 2007.
So 12 years coming up. So that's a lot of weeks and doing this. And your community, I do hope they appreciate you and they've been listening all those years.
But also with tons of help along the way.
Sure.
And with, I couldn't do this without Stephanie, Thaliz, Tex. This is your second fundraiser, George Cooper. See how easily it happens? You get roped into it.
Yeah. See, well, you next year, that George. You rarely say no. I know you, T. And, so I know what that's like.
And I also wanted to actually, it takes a village and all that. The Yulees, the amazing Yulees, as I have started to call them in my head, Amanda Yulee and Frank Yulee, they're going to be doing, I think, about 10 shows over the summer. And Amanda and Frank often hop in during the fall and winter and spring schedules, too. Frank helps with the post-production of every live show that we've been doing for the last year, so that I can get it up on the website. This is the Getting Misty Living Writers episode. We'll have to crack jokes for the rest of it, everybody. So give us a call if you've got a good joke. And you know, any pledge, big or small, counts with us. It really does. This happens only once a year, everyone. 734-763-3500.
Seriously, let's break a record here. Break a record tonight? It would be pretty amazing if we could do it.
I think we will. I think, Brent, we will.
I hope so.
And I'm so grateful.
I'm really hoping so.
For all of you here in the studio and all of you out there listening. We'll be right back.
The people I love best jump into work head first, without dallying in the shallows, and swim off with sure strokes almost out of sight. They seem to become natives of that element. Love people who harness themselves, an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and the muck to move things forward. Who do what has to be done, again and again. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go into the fields to harvest and work in a row and pass the bags along. We're not parlor generals and field deserters, but move in a common rhythm when the food must come in or the fire be put out. The work of the world is common as mud. Botched, it smears the hands, crumbles to dust. The thing worth doing, well done, has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, Hopi vases that held corn, are put in museums, but you know they were made to be used. The pitcher cries for water to carry, and a person for work that is real.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, I'm so glad you did, because you've caught us in the last quarter of Living Writers. Today. for today. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you, George. George pointed out that it's for day. We're going to be back next week. So today on the program, Angie Berkeley, Scott Beal, Brent Bryan, George Cooper, Gina Brandolino, Stephanie Douglas Carpenter, engineering. I'm T. Hetzel. That was The Liz, reading a poem by Marge Piercy that LSA put out earlier this year. It's To Be of Use. Marge Piercy is an LSA alum, 1957, and The Liz is actually an alum too, 2012. So thanks to The Liz for letting us share that poem with everyone. And again, good luck with the recovery. Wisdom teeth. Why does there have to be so much wisdom, right? Gina, do you have a few words?
Yes, if you all want to be of use, something that you could do is call this phone number, 734-763-3500, and make a donation to WCBN during this fun drive. And, you know, do it while Living Writers is on, because Living Writers is awesome. And this is a way that you can be of use.
Thanks, Gina. Thanks. Scott, when you walked in, you had a sheaf of paper with you. Is it some Scott Beal poems?
They're mixed in. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you asked me to bring... You said that I should bring things.
And
you
said
that the theme should be about doing something you love, right? Because this is a labor of love. And so... I narrowed it down, and I had some really serious things.
Is this going to be less than 20 minutes?
Chapter
it'll have
three.
To be, because we have less than 15 minutes left to go. So I'm going to really have to truncate it. But yeah, so I will read a poem that is about karaoke.
Yes. I love karaoke.
I also love karaoke.
I love it.
And this is a true story about me doing karaoke at a little bar in Johnson, Vermont.
I'm so heckin' excited for this.
To the song Toxic by Britney Spears. And it's a form poem. It's a form called a golden shovel, which is invented by Terence Hayes. And what it means is the last line, or the last word of each line, makes a sort of acrostic, where if you read down the right-hand side of the page, it is the words, I'll just give you one verse of it. With the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under, et cetera. It's the lyrics to Toxic written
Scott.
Down the right side of the page.
That's
so you can listen for that if you want to. But in the meantime...
Are you serious? That's amazing.
Belting Britney at the bar. Tonight, I want nothing to do with a straight spine. I want to strike a coy pose and lap up bad taste like I'm feeding a fever I could die of in the spotlight. I want all your half-drunk eyes on me, your lips licked with the sultry lines I'm wafting into the microphone on overdrive through the bar amp, a dervish of loving parody on a ride outside my lane lines. If you're watching me nail all the cues toxic, yanks my clumsy feet to hit, I'm doubly present, half accelerant and slipping between Britney's hips and the undertow of boyish muscle memory, with as reckless and juicy an abandon as a cis old mister can muster. One taste of this honey could stone me the rest of my life. I'll dance a wrinkled shirt and a pair of Wranglers and two pints of poison into a nude bodysuit studded with a paradise of Swarovski crystals. Up here, I'm sloshing my voice around like I'm addicted to sharps and flats, and all I do to warp the tune, I do to warp myself. Don't you want to shed your scripted stiff? Don't you hate your handshake grip and how you learned to cross your legs? Right now I know the seam down my scrotum means I once had labia and was lady. You're watching the man clown I am, shrugging toxic masculinity off both shoulders and stamping it into the miniature stage where I get 3 minutes to live. And wouldn't you love when it's done to shut your eyes and see what happens with any man or woman here if you touch me and I touch you, like light enough to do no damage beyond a smolder you don't recognize or care to stop. Nowhere you need to protect, somewhere you didn't know could sing long after the song is done. That elbow, this knuckle, until you lose how you're shaped to behave, your shed skin glittering and toxic.
High five!
Woohoo! Aw, shucks, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Scott. That was. What's the title of that one again? Is it Toxic?
It's called Belting Brittany at the Bar.
That's awesome. Stephanie's enjoying it behind the glass there, nice. Too. If we had an hour two, we'd play some Brittany.
The form of it is so cool, though. I mean, that's really... I guess I don't know enough about poetry, and that's so unique to me to learn, like, wow, that's really cool.
Well, it's a relatively new form, Scott, you were saying.
It's a
from
form.
Terrence Hayes?
Yeah, Terrence Hayes, inspired by Gwendolyn Brooks, and like the term the golden shovel comes from the We Real Cool poem, The pool player seven at the golden shovel, right? And that was the text of that poem was the first kind of text running down the side of Terrence Hayes's first. It was actually a double version of a golden shovel. And so it's actually become quite popular. A lot of people have been inspired by this form. There's an anthology that got put out a couple of years ago with lots of examples. So I'm coming kind of late to the party. Don't give me credit for inventing this or doing something, out there, and it's like a...
I don't think that poetry gets understood and like that there's form to it. You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of people just like hear poetry and you think, oh, it's poetry.
Yeah,
but
well,
not that there's actual like form to it and this like thought process and an incredible amount of detail.
I guess you've got to listen to more living writers and maybe Scott Beale's episode.
Really quite amazing.
Just teasing you.
Well, and that's what I was just thinking about when Scott gave us that little behind the scenes look at his poem before he read it. Like, it was wonderful to hear you read it. It was so great to hear you kind of give us that like inside look at how it was composed. And that's what you can get from listening to living writers.
Yeah, y'all. Seriously.
Right?
Get into
so
poetry.
Call
this
now.
Stuff is cool.
734-763-3500.
And I'll tweet out the link to Scott's episode. So that'll be going out there so you can find it easily on the website. And
That's so nice of you.
Oh, please. Are you kidding? It's when I look around here, I am just so lucky. Thanks for being here today. I think we're getting near the last moments. Please keep calling everyone. 734-763-3500. Support your campus, your college radio station, the people here. I don't know. George, do you want to say a few words? Because I feel like you're a longtime listener of WCBN. I mean, like, there's people like, I don't know. I can't even start naming them because I won't be able to stop.
I'm not good at naming names, but the station has been here for some 47 years, so far as I understand. That's a good long time, longer than many students here have been here, or older than they are, old enough to be their parents. And yet it's still as vital and central and as overused phrase, real can be. There's no pretense here. You're welcome when you walk in the door. And there's a lot of emphasis on that disc jockeys here can do what they want to do. They can design it for themselves. Very few restrictions, and that's the point. So we're glad to be here. It's 734-763-3500.
I have a very creepy coincidence. Did you say 47 years?
It was a rough estimate.
That I turned 47 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Right.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
47 years of radio and 47 years of Gina. cage match.
We are so lucky. Maybe that can be the next fundraiser. On a quick note, I of course want to thank everyone here today. Angie Berkeley, Scott Beale, Brent Brian, George Cooper, Gina Brandolino, Stephanie Douglas Carpenter. thank you to the pledgers, the Liz for calling in, Nan and Kip, Ellen, Lewis, Sally. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for, I don't know, the engineers and all the guests throughout the years. Thanks to all the folks out there who send emails, books, Instagram messages, retweets. And thanks most of all for writing. Keep on keeping on.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, quick? Brent, yeah.
I also just want to thank my wife, Sarah Russman, and my child, Ava Eloise. Again, it's back to support. And, like, I can't do what I do without them. And I think that we all have people around us that support us. And that's really necessary for art to continue, is that support. And, again, like, calling that number tonight, I know it seems ridiculous, we keep telling you to call it, but it's really important to have that level of support.
And
it really is.
That number is 734-763-3500. We don't think it's ridiculous. Life is absurd. We're all glad to be here. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being here today. I'm T. Hetzel. Until next time.
Maybe I'm in love with you. I say maybe.